Good morning. I give you a warm welcome. It's good to see you. Just a few announcements before we begin. A reading group reminder this Friday at 8 p.m. meeting on Zoom. There is a new Zoom ID. It's on the website. The books being reviewed each month are available for anyone to purchase, usually £1. See Roger. It is on Saturday, I think, the men's breakfast. Do please come and support it. If you are a man and you can invite people to that, John will be giving a testimony. Advance warning as well, or notice rather, for not this coming week, but the week after. There will be communion on the Thursday evening. We'll have a Good Friday service here in the morning. And then we'll also have on the Saturday evening an event, I guess you could call it some praise and worship, but I'll be preaching on where Jesus went and what he did in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. That will be Saturday evening at 7 p.m. It will all be in the bulletin, but I give you advance notice of it now. Let's come to worship our God. Joseph is going to give a reading from the scriptures in a moment, but before that, let's sing together number 2 in the Red Hymn Book, number 2, All Hail the Power.
Yeah. Reading from Ezekiel 2. Like a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day was the sight of that encircling radiance, and it was like the appearance of the glory of the Lord. When I saw this, I threw myself on my face and heard a voice speaking to me. "Man," he said, "stand up and let me talk with you." As he spoke, a spirit came into me and stood me on my feet, and I listened to him speaking. And he said to me, "Man, I am sending you to the Israelites, a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. Past generations of them have been in revolt against me to this very day, and this generation to which I am sending you is stubborn and obstinate. When you say to them, 'These are the words of the Lord God,' they will know that they have a prophet among them, whether they listen or whether they refuse to listen, because they are rebels. But you, man, must not be afraid of them or of what they say. Though they are rebels against you and renegades, and you find yourself sitting on scorpions, there is nothing to fear in what they say, and nothing in their looks to terrify you, rebels though they are. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or whether they refuse to listen, rebels that they are. But you, man, must listen to what I say and not be rebellious like them. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I saw a hand stretched out to me holding a scroll. He unrolled it before me, and it was written all over on both sides with dirges and laments and words of woe. Then he said to me, "Man, eat what is in front of you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the Israelites." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said, "Man, swallow this scroll I give you and fill yourself full." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey.
Amen. 2:66. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come now around your words, you might speak to your people. We pray that as we behold the letters and form the words and understand their meaning, that we might hear the very voice of God. Lord, many hunger and many thirst. Fill us, we pray, on the finest of wheat from the abundance of your word. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the very final section. Psalm 119 is a long psalm, and I've been preaching through it from time to time in our evening meeting this morning. I'd like us to read together the final section. So from verse 169 of Psalm 119 do I now read. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. May God speak to us through this portion of his word. There is a theme going throughout the whole of Psalm 119. The psalmist, whoever he be, is going through a difficult time, from trials within, but also from opposition without. And he keeps coming to God to seek his help and to seek his deliverance. And one of the themes is, according to your word. In other words, he asks from God nothing than that which God has already promised. And because God has promised it, and God cannot, and God does not lie or change his mind or think better of it, if he has promised it, his people can claim it. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. I raised a complaint with an organisation. I need not name it, nor tell you the nature of the complaint. But what I would say is that to complain about a company's practice is remarkably difficult if you want to be heard. If you want to make a sale, they're all over you. The number is probably three. And there are hundreds of people just waiting to receive your call. But if something doesn't arrive, or it's faulty, or you're not happy with the time it took, you will struggle to find that number. Having found it, they will struggle to staff it. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. How many people must pray to God at any moment? How many people cast before him their burdens, and yet for each one he's able to make the time. For each one he's able to hear. Each broken heart he's able to address. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. What is the cry? Give me understanding according to your word. Is he asking for understanding of that word, or a general understanding because God has promised it? There is, of course, much we do not understand in this world. There is much I do not understand about the world to come. I only know as much as God has revealed in his words. And yet he prays for understanding according to it. The more we get to know our God, the more we love his word, and the more we love his word, the more we get to understand our God. A lady told me the other day, she always trusts her own spirit. Her own spirit never lies to her. The human heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. I commend her spirit. Mine's the filthiest liar I know. But God's words can be trusted. God's words can be relied upon. God's words can be leaned upon. Give me understanding according to your word. I long each day to understand better my God and to understand his words. His writing, this book, is but a glimpse into the incredible heart of God. Let my cry come before you. Let my supplication come before you. Here is a man who desires things from God. We don't know what his problem is. We know that the next request is to deliver me. Now, elsewhere in this psalm, there are people giving him a hard time. If we look in the previous section, verse 161, princes persecute me without a cause. There are powerful people in this man's world, high up and exalted, people at their beck and command, who are persecuting him. I suspect in this final section, he has a far more formidable enemy than ungodly princes. If I just nip ahead to 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. The persecuting enemy here is his own self. So when he says in verse 170, deliver me according to your words, I believe he's asking to be delivered from his own inclination, proclivity to wander off. But notice again, he asks for deliverance, but no more or less according to what God himself has promised. God has made it clear from the very beginning until the very end. He is in the business of delivering sinful people. Now that's good news if, like me, you are a sinful person. I'm not righteous. I'm not morally good. I'm not perfect. In other words, I'm the very kind of person that the Lord Jesus came to help, to save, to rescue, and to deliver. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your words. It probably ought not to be quoted every time I preach. But John 3:16 is a wonderful word to which I continually keep hold. For God so loved the world. I'm a part of the world. That means for God so loved me. And you're a part of the world. So it means for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. But if you believe in him, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, deliver me according to your word. I cannot deliver me. The pastor cannot deliver me. The church cannot deliver me. Nobody can deliver me but you, because you have promised it in your word. When we all stand before God on the day in which we enter eternity, on what ground or basis will you claim his heaven? If on any ground or basis other than the merit of his son, you can't enter. Only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ can you stand before a holy God and share all the benefits and treasures which are his. O Lord, the day I die, deliver me according to your word. The day I stand before you, naked and trembling, deliver me according to your word. That day my faith is weak and I fear that I am lost. Deliver me according to your word. No more or no less than what he has already promised. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. God is worthy of our praise regardless of what he does. He is the most beautiful, powerful, incredible being, the center of the very cosmos and universe. They all depend upon his words for their existence. And yet he, what does he do? You teach me your statutes. The great God of heaven teaches us more of him and more of how we ought to live. The Lord is my teacher. That, my friends, is why we come to church. We don't come to church, by and large, because we're feeling a bit lonely. There are social groups out there who can do a better job. We don't come to church because we like singing. We don't come to church because we like the feel of an uncomfortable Victorian pew. We come to church because we want our lips to utter praise with other people's lips who utter praise. We could all have stayed at home today and sang our own songs and hymns and looked at the back. It would have worked. But my tongue shall speak, my lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. When I come to church, especially when somebody else is preaching, I look forward to hearing the voice of God, teaching me his statutes, making me wiser than when I first entered through that door, making me godlier, making me holy, making me love him more. My tongue shall speak of your words, for all your commandments are righteous. Not only do we sing his praise when we come together, and indeed when we are apart, not only does he teach us, but our tongue shall speak of your words. I appreciate there are countries in the world in which speaking his words, speaking about his word, can land one in a great deal of trouble. We are not there yet. And yet what a privilege it is to speak God's word. What a privilege it is to share a word in due season with somebody who needs it. My tongue shall speak of your words. There's so much going on in the economy, in the political world, international tension, war, all the rest of it. But how nice it is to come together with people who would speak of God's word. I don't get it at work. I don't get it in my home. I don't get it in the queue at the co-op. But I pray I get it when I come to church. Tongues speaking of God's word. For all your commandments are righteous. What a contrast between the righteousness and the goodness of God and the fallenness and the depravity of the world in which we live. Let your hand become my help. That's a strange way of putting it. It's, of course, a rather lovely expression, the hand of God. My times are in your hand. Let your hand become my help. When we were children, some of us recall our parents' gigantic hands. Of course, they weren't gigantic. It's our hands that were small. And God is spirit. And yet the expression the hand bespeaks is his strength. But also his ability to lift up and to hold, to keep firm hold of. Remember, he's concerned about wandering off and going astray. But the hand of God is strong to bring him back and to restore. You might notice as well the psalmist talks about what God does for him, but also what he does in response. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. Choose this day whom you will serve. Each one of us must make a choice. How many times does the Lord Jesus say, follow me? It's a command, yet it's also an invitation. The psalmist here says, I have chosen your precepts or your law or your commands. There are other gods out there whom I could have followed. Them I reject. I could have tried following myself, but no, that too I reject. I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord. I long for your salvation. In one respect, the writer here is looking forward to the one who will come and bring salvation. These Old Testament writers, as we call them, are looking forward, longing for the one to come who was promised. He was promised in Eden. He was promised to the prophets. He's promised in the law. I long for your salvation. I believe he's anticipating the coming of a person. And that person came. That person came. And he became one of us. He did not just appear in a fiery light and a thunderous voice, but as a small child. Then as the village carpenter. Then as the gentle teacher. The healer. Then as the sacrificial victim. then as the resurrected second Adam, and he will come again as the conquering king. I long for your salvation. He may also be referring to that time when he's no longer wandering off like a lost sheep. I cannot wait for my new body. And I could detail and list off all the ailments I have with my present body. But that's not the main advantage of it. No more backache, no, you know, all that. Yeah, great, fine. I'm looking forward to the time when my heart will not be able to go astray. You see, the deeper you go in the Lord, the more you realize that the benefits of the new body is not just that you'll be better looking or taller or whatever, but that you'll no longer ever cause offense to him. I long for your salvation, O Lord. I long for that day when the Lord Jesus will return. A horrible day for those who have rejected him. A delightful, wonderful, fantastic day for those who await him. I long for your salvation, O Lord. And your law is my delight. Most people don't delight in rules. Most people don't delight in law. And yet the more we get to know the Lord, the more we love the Lord, the more we want to live a life which is pleasing to him. In the big things, but also in the little things, the more we realise that we want to make him smile. And in many respects, we may be childlike and simple. But the Lord said, except you be like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom. And here the psalmist, through God's word, knows what the Lord wants him to do. And he delights to read it and to do it. Not because he's afraid, but because he wants to please his God. That is why we Christians try to live a good, pleasing and righteous life. Not because we're afraid of hell. The flames of hell cannot touch the blood washed. But because we want to delight our Heavenly Father. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. He comes now to him who is the resurrection and the life. You are the source of life. You are the source and the ground of our being. I can only live if you breathe your spirit into me. And Adam became a living man. When you become a Christian, the breath of God once again enters your spirit. You become a living man, a living woman. You who were dead in your trespasses and your sins are now resurrected. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. An unbeliever would look at the law of God and say, so what? Who cares? And maybe they say to you, why do you go to church praising a God all day? But to we who believe, he is precious. He is precious. And if heaven, I suspect there's far more going to happen, by the way, in New Jerusalem than we can possibly anticipate or imagine. But if heaven was simply one long, eternal praise and worship service, it will be enough. You see, we were made to glorify God. We were made to enjoy God. We were made to desire His company and have fellowship with Him, to walk with Him in the garden in the cool of the evening. And sin drives a wedge between us and our Maker, ending that relationship, severing that fellowship. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Let my soul live, and I will do that for which I was created. I will fulfill the purpose for which I was made, to have friendship with my God. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I have gone astray. Reading this, you'd think, ooh, what a godly man. What a super spiritual type. A giant of faith. Yet he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I should have been in the field with the shepherd. I should have been with the others, but I saw a hole and I just had to go through it. And now I can't get back. Now I'm by the rivers of Babylon. I sat down and weep. And I remember Zion. Remember the height from which you have fallen. But there is good news. Yes, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. That's the problem. That's the difficulty. That's the conundrum. And there's no way back. But then says Isaiah the prophet, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He says him because Isaiah doesn't know his name. We do. You shall call his name Jesus. But he shall save his people. The Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That's good news. Because if it means you are a lost sheep, you can come back now. If you know you've been cut off from God, you can now be reconciled. If you're afraid of dying, you come to him who's the resurrection and the life. And you will welcome the grave as you do a holiday. But not a holiday where things go wrong. Not a holiday that comes to an end. But a holiday that's far better than anything you've had before. A Sabbath rest. For the people of God. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Well, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes off for the one. And if you're the 99, you might think, well, that's not fair. We didn't stray. But none of us are in that 99. We are all the one. The Lord Jesus left the splendor of heaven . The throne room of glory. to seek and save those who were lost. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. That's not the reason for him wanting the Lord to seek him. He's not saying, seek me because I'm morally good. If he were morally good, he would not have said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I might not forget your commandments, but I'm jolly good at breaking them. Is there any hope for me? Will you seek me? Or will you write me off? Well, we've still got 99 sheep. We can stand the loss of one. No. No. He loves dearly that 100th sheep. That foolish sheep. That sheep which is probably now caught and stuck. Its fleece matted and filthy. Its flesh torn by thorns and damaged. The good shepherd seeks that sheep. I say to you this morning, if you are the lost sheep, say with the psalmist, seek me. If you're in need of help this morning, say to him, let your hand become my help. If you need deliverance this morning, say to him, deliver me according to your word. If you're feeling troubled or perplexed, say to him, give me understanding according to your words. Let's just have a few moments of quiet where we can think of that. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your words. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your words. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Number 15.
Jesus,
seated. Any who would read from God's word may do so.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father.
Amen.
Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls."
Amen. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you that you have invited us to come into your family. We thank you for your grace, your undeserved kindness in every aspect of our life. We thank you for your abundant provision. We thank you that we are a people with a hope and a future, that we need not be held back by our past, nor that we need be afraid of our present. I pray, Lord, for every soul gathered in this chapel today, that to them you would draw close. And yet, Lord, we also remember those unable to join us. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen that which is weak, support that which wobbles, and that your name might be glorified. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's sing number 87 as we close. Number 87.
Thank you.
I've wrestled on towards heaven, against storm and wind and tide. Now like a weary traveller that leaneth on his guide, amid the shades of evening, while sinks life's lingering sand, I hail the glory dawning in Emmanuel's land. Let's say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.